Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Health does not just mean the absence of disease or infirmity, but a state of physical, mental, and social well-being. Health outcomes are not just determined by healthcare and access to it, but rather are due to a mix of factors, which include living conditions and the environment. Now, as we mark World Health Day on April 7th, this year's theme of Our Planet, Our Health directs our attention to the interconnectedness of human well-being to the well-being of the Earth. Joining us on the show today to explore this further, we have Dr. Renzo Ginto. He is the Chief Planetary Health Scientist for the Sunway Center for Planetary Health based at Sunway University. Dr. Renzo, thanks for joining us today. I'm just wondering whether we could begin our conversation with a look at this year's theme, in particular, Our Planet, Our Health. I'm just wondering how we should be thinking about this, particularly in relation to your line of work.
Thank you very much for having me here. And yes, happy World Health Day. And I'm really thrilled when you started the show by quoting the definition of health in the Constitution of the World Health Organization, not merely the absence of disease, but really it's a holistic concept that deals with or that pertains to, you know, our social lives, our, you know, the economic aspects of our, you know, humanity, even mental health and emotional well-being. Now it's becoming a very pressing concern, especially among young people who are surviving a pandemic, but also experiencing a lot of different stressors, such as, you know, social media, for instance, and of course, the planet. And you mentioned that the theme that was selected by the WHO this year for this year's World Health Day is Our Planet and Our Health. And, you know, in the age of climate change and pandemics, we cannot anymore ignore the health of the planet while we pursue our own health as well. The two are inextricably linked. You know, we get our food from natural ecosystems. We breathe clean air and drink clean water. But unfortunately, with the many activities that we are currently doing as, you know, as humanity, as a civilization, we've been really destroying all of these natural assets, which eventually will create health problems for all of us. And so I think that this World Health Day, the WHO, by choosing Our Planet, Our Health as a theme, you know, it reminds us that we need a holistic approach, an integrated approach. When we look at our health in this century, we cannot anymore detach our health from the health of the planet. And that means we have to go outside of the clinic. We need to go outside of the medical care system. I'm a physician by training. And so, you know, early on, I realized, oh, I cannot just be staying inside my clinic waiting for the patients to get treated, right? We need to get out and we need to address what we call the causes of ill health, including the planetary challenges, environmental challenges that we are currently confronting.
Renzo, you know, what you've done is basically raise the bar, you, WHO, and all those who are concerned about framing the issues in this way have raised the bar. But if we look at the previous bar, much lower, much more siloed and focused on, say, you know, healthcare systems, even on that score, the world has failed miserably, especially failed the third world. And so, you know, over the pandemic, you know, we've been exposed to, you know, vaccine nationalism, all kinds of inequalities on a global scale. What is the point, and is it realistic to raise the bar so high when even with the previous bar set much lower, we weren't able to be just to much of the world's population?
Great question, Sharad. And yes, you mentioned vaccine inequality, which we still have today around the world, especially in low and middle income countries. And we're also saying that if we can't do it with COVID and we can't reach vaccine equity as we are trying to weather this pandemic, what more the bigger ecological crisis that we are confronting? And so, yes, it is a real challenge. It is a challenge of leadership and governance at the global level, at the national level. And so it's important that we are working closely and influencing our national governments, the government of Malaysia, the governments in Southeast Asia, to really take these issues seriously, you know, enhancing our healthcare system to make sure that no one is left behind, but also making sure that we do not create more disease so that the healthcare system will not be bearing the brunt. You know, they're the ones at the end of the day who will need to respond to these health crises, who will need to be, you know, treating more patients if these ecological problems such as climate change, air pollution, water pollution are not averted. And so, you know, I think, yes, we're raising the bar and, you know, the old bar was not met. The new bar will be definitely much more difficult. But I think we're also expanding how we really want to, you know, address health in this century. And we know that a curative approach is not sufficient. It's also too late. We want to make sure that there are less patients coming to our healthcare system, because it will not just save money for our healthcare systems. It will actually create healthy and happy people in the long run.
Okay, so you've laid it out beautifully. You've explained to us exactly, I guess, all the different ways to think about planetary health. But maybe you can break it down to more kind of, so we understand where the priorities are. I understand the kind of holistic approach, but where do we need to, what are those kind of silos or those pillars that we're thinking about when we think about planetary health and how it's all kind of interlinked?
Excellent. And, you know, let me just define what planetary health is. You heard that, you know, we just established late last year a new center, the Sunway Center for Planetary Health, which is the first of its kind in Asia. You know, planetary health is a relatively young concept, you know, introduced in The Lancet, which is a world-renowned medical journal in 2015, which basically stated that we cannot anymore just focus on the health of people. We need a more integrated approach that also concerns or shows concern for the health of the planet. And you're asking, let's go to specifics. What are we really talking about? You know, the climate crisis is certainly top priority. Just 2 days ago, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released its third, you know, installment of the sixth report. And basically, they're saying that with the current pace of carbon emissions reduction that we are seeing around the world, we will not be able to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement, which is to keep the global average temperature increase to below 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2030. We will not be able to reach the target. And also, it's calling for deep emissions cuts, reductions across all sectors, agriculture, transport, the energy system, even the healthcare system is also emitting carbon through its delivery of healthcare. And so climate change, the climate crisis is really top priority. We're already seeing the effects of climate change, including here in Southeast Asia, the recent floods in Malaysia late last year, the typhoons that have increased in number and severity here in the Philippines, which is my home country, and in also other neighboring countries as well. So climate change is one. But also, you know, COVID-19 is a stark reminder that if we keep on destroying the planet, if we keep on continuing our destruction of, you know, biodiversity, natural ecosystems, there is a very high chance that another pandemic that is similar to COVID-19 will be happening again within our lifetime. You know, that another virus will be jumping from an animal to a human being if we do not get our acts together. And yes, it may have started, you know, this one may have started in China, but, you know, maybe in the future it might come from a jungle in Malaysia or in the Philippines or Indonesia if we do not you know, come up with preventative measures. And so I think those two are quite, you know, pressing. Of course, pollution in cities is another. Our defective food systems is also should also be a priority. We have food systems that emit a lot of carbon, but also makes us fat.
Yeah. So in fact, on that note, if I could just jump in, Renzo, because sure. The Lancet produced a report. I think it's called Eat Lancet. And it Correct. Suggested a diet for the 21st century. And we can get into some of these issues about nutrition, but also the production, because the production system is the one that is also in many ways compromising our goals towards, dealing with carbon emissions, but also wastage. You know, literally tons of food thrown away on a weekly basis in Malaysia, hundreds of tons of food that also have an impact on the environment. Is nutrition and food production something that the center is looking at?
Definitely. And, you mentioned food waste. 40% of our global food is actually being thrown away. And we know that there are still huge inequalities worldwide and even within Malaysia in terms of access to food. Plus, you have 1 billion people on Earth who are undernourished and 2 billion people on Earth who are overweight and obese. And so you can see how nutrition and food are unevenly distributed worldwide, and we're wasting a lot of it as well. And so that is definitely a priority of the Sunway Center. In fact, we have a new informal research group that is already investigating into that planetary health diet proposal that was published in The Lancet a few years ago. Is the planetary health diet realizable in a country like Malaysia or in the Southeast Asian context? Southeast Asia is a pretty interesting region to think about the future of food. The cuisine and the culinary arts are a very intrinsic part of our culture. And we have rich, different food sources, from the land to the sea. We have it, right? And so I think there's a really huge potential for Malaysia and Southeast Asia at large to show how should the future of food look like, Planetary health diet that respects the planet's limits, but also makes us healthy and gives us a healthy, nutritional food on our tables. That's something that we're working on, and hopefully more colleagues and, even our farmers will be engaged in this very important discourse.
I love that. Okay, Renzo, we're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and continue this. I feel like there's many other aspects that we need to explore, particularly in how health is so connected to the well-being of the planet. All right, we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned to Consider This. Thank you so much for staying with Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. And we're chatting today to Dr. Renzo Ginto, Chief Planetary Health Scientist at Sunway Center for Planetary Health. And he's on the show today to mark World Health Day, this year's theme, drawing attention to the interconnectedness of human well-being with the well-being of the planet. I want to kind of go back a little bit to the climate crisis, which has been called the climate crisis is also a health crisis and probably one of the biggest health threats to humanity. And I'm just wondering, forgive me if this is a almost basic question, but I want to better understand how that links. How does the climate crisis impact our health? In what ways does it impact our health?
Very important question. And yes, the climate crisis is a public health emergency. We always think of climate change as an issue around polar bears getting dehydrated, although we love our polar bears to be, fat and fluffy, or about, the coal plants, right, that we need to be shutting down in order to reduce carbon emissions. It is an issue at the end of the day of human health and survival. And there's really growing evidence that the climate crisis is already impacting the health of human populations worldwide, including here in Malaysia and in Southeast Asia. So, for example, There's a very strong correlation between changes in the climate, in the environment, and the emergence or re-emergence of mosquito-borne diseases, dengue, malaria, you know, and these are diseases that we've been trying to eliminate in this part of the world. But now, because of climate change, we are expecting their resurgence. And so this is really something very concerning. But also, you know, that's in the realm of infectious diseases. When it comes to what we call non-communicable diseases, there's growing evidence also that heat stroke, heart attacks due to exposure to extreme heat will be increasing in the coming years and decades as well, especially here in Asia. And so those are just some examples of diseases that will be impacted by climate change. And lastly, you know, because I talk about some physical health problems, climate change is also a mental health issue. And there's growing recognition that, you know, when the climate situation worsens, we can anticipate what we call climate anxiety. People feeling, you know, a certain kind of distress because either they see climate change in the news or they're experiencing it firsthand. They're seeing their houses being swallowed by the sea when, you know, sea level rises due to climate change. And so those are just some of the alarming health problems that we're just not anticipating. They're already happening now.
Lorenzo, when we look at, you know, possible solutions to the problems that beset us now on a planetary level, you know, where should we be focused? There has been, over the last 2 years, a tremendous faith in pharmacological interventions. We there's a race to a vaccine, a warp speed, something that was not applied to, of course, diseases in the third world like malaria. I do believe there's now a vaccine for malaria. But the issue is that should we be so dependent on pharmacological interventions, and how do we balance that with other forms of interventions that are necessary to actually deal with these problems?
Interesting, because, you know, as I mentioned a while ago, I'm a physician by training, but I think the solutions will come from the outside of the health sector. And at the Sunway Center for Planetary Health, we actually, you know, work in a very transdisciplinary fashion. We bring people from different disciplines and sectors, because the medical care center or system cannot do it alone. You know, sure, we can roll out more vaccines, we can be treating patients who come to the ER, but if we do not address the issues around the food system, you know, energy sector, enabling the energy transition from, you know, dirty fossil fuels to clean renewable energy, if we do not institute reforms in the transport sector, if we do not decarbonize the world, basically, we will be not able to prevent the many diseases that I mentioned a while ago. And so, you know, one, if we need to really protect people's health in a changing planet, we need to make sure we decarbonize and we work closely with the other sectors. But also, I think the healthcare system will need to brace itself for, unfortunately, the impacts that are inevitable, that are already even happening. And so we need to build climate resilient or climate smart health systems. And when we say a health system is climate resilient or climate smart, you know, they're the last building standing. You know, they're bending without breaking. And so how can we build those health systems that are responsive to the malarias and the dengues and the heat-related illnesses, you know, in an era where the climate is becoming much warmer than before?
You mentioned a bit earlier that planetary health is relatively new. It's, you know, I think a lot of people still are trying to learn the science behind planetary health. I'm wondering whether there is enough kind of data knowledge accumulated, as you mentioned, transdisciplinary research that is helping underscore the understanding of the relationship between health and the planet, and whether there seems to be an urgency to act on on planetary health.
Thanks, Melissa. And, you know, I think the evidence, certainly there's a need for more research, right? But I think the evidence that we have now already is pretty clear and pretty strong. And the challenge is how to turn the evidence that we know and that we have into real world action, policy change, advocacy. And that's why in the center, we always say, you know, we're not just a think tank, we're a think and do tank. We work with governments. We're working with the Malaysian government. We're working with the industry. We're working with civil society. We're working with young people who will be the next generation of planetary health leaders and stewards and citizens. And so that is the major challenge now. You know, the IPCC published I think it's a 3,000 page report, right? The evidence is very strong. I think now is the era for action, getting things done.
Renzo, you know, you paint a very broad picture of the problem. But for the ordinary person, right, for the man and woman on the street, these are largely abstractions. I mean, you mentioned a 3,000-page report. Not many of us are going to peruse even the executive summary of that report. And if I can bring us back to the clinic, you're a physician. I mean, people go to doctors and they expect their GPs to help them negotiate their own health. On an individual level, what needs to happen? What do GPs have to tell their patients or all the people who come to them for care so that the transformation is not simply on the level of the government or intergovernmental organization, not just a question about policy, but it's also about personal practice?
Excellent, because I think the planetary is also personal, right? And I think, you know, we, for example, as physicians, but also the media and all sectors will need to do a better job in communicating this seemingly big and abstract and perhaps daunting information and convey them to the public, to patients, to individuals in a digestible way. And so, for example, you know, they can start. There are already a lot of things that can be done at the level of the individual and the household when it comes to healthy and nutritious and sustainable eating, when it comes to using public transport, when it comes to energy efficiency and conservation at home. So those are, you know, things that are very doable. A lot of people already know about them, but I think we need to do a better job in terms of really communicating this information to the public. But also, I think once a level of awareness is already very high among the public, especially the young people, then we can use that, you know, voice and that knowledge and that awareness to hold governments and businesses to account. And so I think we need to create a critical mass of, you know, ordinary and extraordinary people to be demanding more from the leaders to make sure that we leave behind a healthy planet to the next generation.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, learning more about planetary health, and happy World Health Day to you. And to everyone watching, that was our conversation with Dr. Renzo Ginto from Sunway Center for Planetary Health, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.